You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 23 September. Today in 1846, Neptune was observed for the first time. Its existence had been mathematically predicted, but nobody had seen it. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and recorded from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments, the Investec trading update, the Rand as it trades around fair value, and we are finally in the rate-cutting cycle. Petri Radenhaes from Herenia Capital Advisors, important levels to watch on platinum and palladium, and David Moroba from Business Partners Limited. Private equity and VC steps into the gap left in South Africa's National Development Plan funding as government seems to have stepped away from the funding over the last decade. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. No morning headlines, no morning markets. As this has been recorded, we are taking a longer day weekend. Normal service back on Wednesday.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. Wayne, appreciate the time today. Let's start off with the Investec trading update. A lot of moving parts. The stock coming under a little bit of pressure when the market's mostly green. But this is one of the banks. I mean, our banks have all done well. This bank has done incredibly well in terms of share price performance over the last months and truthfully years.
Yes, it has done. And for one real reason is they came off a very low base.
Yeah.
In other words, the new management that took over there had a lot of things to fix, and they fixed them incredibly well. So when you look at the share price chart, forget the COVID collapse. Mm-hmm. Let's say the share price was 50 Rand. It's now, you know, almost what, 130 Rand.
Yeah.
So, and that over the last 5 years, and that's incredibly well. That's outperformed most banks, and I just can't quite remember, but it may have even outperformed Capitec.
Over the period, I think it has. I mean, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And that separation, I mean, as you said, there was a lot for them to do. N91, some folks have been saying to me, it's been going nowhere. Fair point. But I mean, collectively, the two together, you're better off than you were when they were one group.
Definitely are, yes. And I mean, 91 might do very well now in a bit of a bull market, eh? Because they're very geared to equity market movements. So I think that will benefit them quite substantially, as it will all other asset managers and the life insurers.
Yeah, that's just it. Because, of course, the life insurers have a large amount of equity at their core. And like the Coronation, market goes up, well, they get more fees.
Correct, yes.
I want to touch on the Rand. It briefly was 17.39 on Thursday, sort of ahead of our rate cuts, trading around 17.50 as we record. You put a tweet out saying that this is around about that fair value for the currency.
Correct, yes. And then when I started saying it was fair value for the currency, it was at 19.30. And it seemed outrageous to say that 17.50 is fair value because it's never going to go there. And yet, yeah, we are. And if this trend continues, now when I say a trend, I'm talking about the worldwide interest rates being cut, trend continues, and it boosts economic growth, which in turn boosts commodity prices, the Rand's not going to stop here.
Well, that's just
it's going to go stronger.
I remember chatting to you at 19 and change, and 17.50 seemed 100 miles away. But this is truthfully what our Rand does. There's a fair value.
Yes.
It's around 17.50, but it can go a couple of Rand either side of that quite
easily.
Either
side. Look, the last time we had something like this, in fact, the last two occasions where we had something like this, the Rand went to quite an overvalued level before it turned and then went back to a very undervalued level because that was what the Rand does. When you examine the Rand over time and you put a fair deviation around fair value, it's only within that range about 30% of the time. Eh?
Oh, wow.
So 70% of the time, the Rand's either too cheap or too expensive.
Yeah. And as a country, we seem to take it so personally one way or the other. But it's one of those liquid currencies that gets traded and moved all over.
Yeah. And of course, should it strengthen more? And I don't know what the level is. Let's just pick a level and say 1680, whatever, take money overseas by the bucket load.
Yeah, we get those opportunities a few times every couple of years. We need to grab them. A last question. We had the rate cuts. So BOE and BOJ did nothing. Fed 0.5%. We did 0.25%. A lot of folks are saying, oh, 0.25%. You know, I got two thoughts. Firstly, it's great that we are now in the rate cutting cycle. It has started. It is real. And also, we're not the American economy. Our governor needs to be perhaps a little more cautious than Jerome Powell can be.
Yeah. Look, I think they could have cut, as I said, I think they could have cut 0.5%, but it doesn't matter, you know, if your overdraft rate's still well above 10, you know, 0.25% doesn't make that much difference. The point is exactly what you said. We are in the cutting cycle now, which is good news. There's still more cuts to come, which is good news, not only for the domestic market directly, but indirectly, as I said earlier on, if this boosts economic growth and boosts commodity prices, then our mining sector and our exports benefit as well, and the rand benefits.
You mentioned mining. You mentioned earlier, if we suddenly see commodities, you know, gold's already at levels, but if PGMs start to move, if the others, you know, maybe coal, maybe iron ore, that also adds strength to our currency.
Yes, the rand is very much tied to the commodity cycle. I did a study once where I ignored politics. I just said politics are irrelevant to the valuation of the rand in the longer term.
Yeah.
And I tied up the variation of the rand, and it correlates almost perfectly with the commodity cycle. So we are a commodity currency.
Yeah, there's the truth if ever there was one. We'll leave it there. Wayne McCurry, F&B Wealth and Investments. Always appreciate the insights.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Pietri Redenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Pietri, PGMs, not the miners, the actual metals, platinum, palladium, they've been moving. They've created a lot of excitement. I can't help thinking a lot of the bounce in the miners week before last was more about oversold, more about Sibanye cutting back production. But I thought we'd get you on to get a sense of what are you seeing on the charts? Because my layman, they're not the most thrilling charts I've ever seen.
Good morning, Simon. And so not the most exciting charts on planet Earth, right? They have essentially been going sideways. I don't know, since sort of 2017 is the chart I'm looking at till now. The price hasn't really moved all that much. I mean, 2017, we were trading around 951, and we're trading now at sort of just under 1,000. So it hasn't really gone anywhere, to be honest. Essentially, what I think has been a bit of a weight on the platinum stock is the transition to electronic vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a large push in that. And I think what we're starting to see now, and which is part of the reason why we're quite bullish on PGMs at this stage of the game, is that some of the auto manufacturers that made all these big promises to be, you know, 100% EV by 2030 are starting to roll back their commitments and say, well, we kind of like these internal combustion engines. So we're going to keep making them, and our 2030 target to be 100% EV, we are taking off the table. So I think that will theoretically bring back some demand for platinum.
Mm-hmm.
As we can see, post-COVID, we kind of rallied platinum price all the way to $1,200, $1,300 actually. I think it peaked above that. You know, after COVID, this is during 2021. So maybe when we see a bit of demand coming back for catalytic converters, due to, you know, normal internal combustion engine motor vehicle production. Oh, it's a lot of big words. Making normal cars, basically.
Yeah.
Maybe that will start to push the platinum price up a little bit. And also, things like Sibanye cutting production obviously helps.
Yeah. But what we need on these prices, and it's kind of the same on palladium as well in terms of the sideways, we need a break of the channel. Then things get really, really exciting.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with that. I mean, if I looking at the platinum chart here, it's really kind of been range bound, I want to say between 1,000 and 850, right? Mm-hmm. It's picked above 1,000, even 1,100, I guess, is, you can expand that range to be that size. If it gets above 1,100, then I think we are sort of heading for new highs. But now I think our sort of immediate expectation is this $1,000 level is going to be quite a bit of resistance. If we can break above that, we got a shot at $1,100, which is about a 10% move. We know the platinum miners and PGM stocks in general are quite geared towards that.
Yeah.
So they'll run quite a bit more, we think. If we look at palladium, just to quote some prices, palladium and platinum look a bit different. Palladium has been in a sort of a bearish trend, I want to say, since 2021. But also, I guess on a long enough time frame, it's also really not gone anywhere. But it's been in a downward trend. And you and I have spoken in the past a little bit about the 200-day moving average.
Yeah.
What we've seen is an interesting move. One, a sort of thrust of the palladium price up above the 200-day moving average. And two, a shorter-term moving average crossing over with the longer-term one. So the 20-day moving average has cut above the 200. So those things are, it depends on your strategy that you're using, I guess, but can be considered what something called a robust entry. So if you're a trend-following trader, that would be your first entry into the stock. When you break above the 200, that little moving average crossover would be your second signal to add to it. And from here, you know, if it continues to trade higher and trend up, so we're essentially trying to pick a trend turning point here, which it seems it could be, you kind of want to add into the pullbacks every time it pulls back to that 20-day moving average. So from here, just a technical trend following chart strategy, palladium looks like it's ready to buy. In fact, you should have probably bought it a week ago. But it's trading at 1,084 at the time that I'm looking at this now. I mean, you know, if we look all the way at the highs that it was in 2022, it was at 3,400 almost. So it can almost triple from here.
Yeah, I'd actually forgotten about those highs. And resistance there as well, overhead resistance, also around sort of 1,100-ish, although the platinum one looking perhaps a little less bullish. So palladium perhaps the more interesting. And of course, Amanas are mostly platinum, but they've got some palladium and they've got the North American assets from Implats and Sabania. We'll leave it there. Petra Edenhaus, here on your Capital Advisors. Appreciate the time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with David Morobe, his business partners limited. David, appreciate the time today. South Africa's National Development Plan, key objectives, eliminating poverty, reducing inequality, supporting job creation, creating growth. They sound like almost pie in the sky type things, desperately needed by our country, by our economy. But investment has stalled, particularly from government, particularly from banks who are typically risk adverse and sort of not coming to the party.
100%. The issue is certain things need to be in place that can give certainty to particularly private sector to be willing to invest, which has not been the case, unfortunately, over a number of years with all the challenges that we face, a subdued economy in terms of its growth over the years. The whole of last year, we had unprecedented levels of load shedding and a high interest rate environment. So everything has been on the high, and you need an environment where there's proper functionality at all levels of government for private sector to have the confidence to move forward in the number of investment areas that can yield that democratic dividend. Sounds like pie in the sky, but it's real for most people. And unless the leadership that people entrust to our politicians rings true, those things will always remain something that appear like pie in the sky, but very necessary.
Very necessary. And what we are seeing is more activity from private equity, from private debt, from venture capital coming into these spaces. And in some cases, I imagine it's a classic example of impact investing, but they're obviously seeing opportunity. And in many senses, it's their skill set. Banks' skill set is lending money. Private equity, private debt, venture capital, their skill set is managing business, engaging and making growth happen.
Indeed. Sometimes it's very sector specific that private equity specialists tend to rule the roost in a sense. Sometimes you need also a bit of a generic approach and also to perhaps segment the market into various levels to say, okay, at level X, maybe we need government to come in with, in a sense, impact funding that looks to create jobs and that's not looking for commercial return. Then you have a space for development finance players that can come in with a little bit of commercial return, but the mix of that with some impact inherent in what in their investment approach. And then you can find the banks whose mandate is not really to lend, but to hold depositors' funds safe, if I might say, and invest it responsibly. And then private equity can then come at a higher level or higher segment of the small and medium enterprise space, where we say, these guys, you can take bigger risk. There's people with higher skill sets starting a number of businesses, say, for instance, in specialized sectors like IT and that type of health space. And those people from private equity can then add value because they understand the high level of engagement that is required to take that business to a higher level.
Are we seeing this sort of coordination? Because certainly I've spoken to private equity, I've spoken to venture capital, I've spoken to organizations, African Private Equity Venture Capital Association. There is increased activity happening. Is it playing out on the ground as almost, we spoke about pie in the sky a moment ago, this is almost as an ideal outcome. Is it happening on the ground?
Look, there's a lot of money chasing these opportunities, but there are few and far in between. And look, they don't operate in a vacuum. They are also a derivative from the broader economic environment. And what I've mentioned as having been challenges in leading up to the present moment, you know, has caused that investment to be not as high as it could be. That's why our hope at the moment rests in the response that we get from the SME community around the Government of National Unity, that maybe there's more of an attunement to service delivery, as well as a better attractive place for investors and potentially to stimulate growth that we haven't seen before.
And two things, and you've alluded to both of them or mentioned them. One is a lowering rate environment. The other is Eskom working. I imagine both of those just give a little more certainty, a little more optimism on the various different role players to sign on the dotted line.
100%. And also the inflationary environment seems to have been under better control than has been the case up to now. And we've seen the more developed countries going a bit softer on the interest rate levels. I think that will help and give more inspiration to both the investors and investees to take up investment opportunities. And remember, in the lead up to elections, they tend to be a bit hesitant to take up opportunities. And now that that is past us and you've got some kind of stability through a Government of National Unity, I think they've been in office for about just about 2 months now.
Yeah.
If things go as they have started, I think there's hope.
And the big issue, I mean, South Africa has challenges. Perhaps our biggest challenge is the unemployment rate, you know, above 30% of the official rate. The small and the medium businesses, this is where jobs are going to be created. And if we can start getting that number down, it'll have a marked impact on our country and a positive impact.
No, 100%. But the issue is that we should not treat small businesses as the panacea to all the challenges that we have on unemployment. There are a number of other aspects that need to be handled, those key variables. One of them is the issue of crime, which I'm hoping that they are tending to with much more vigor than was the case before. Because, I mean, these things of these extortionists that have been existing has been a disincentive for many businesses to go. So all of those elements need to be addressed. And if that environment is okay, small businesses will do what they do best by creating wealth for themselves and in the process creating for those that they take in their employ and hopefully lessen the challenge that we are facing as a country that we is very unprecedented, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take your point in that. It's David Morobe. He's Business Partners Limited. Really appreciate the time today. That's it for today. The show was brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Wednesday. What happened to the recession?
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.